St. Apollinaris, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. See you. Our saint today, boys, is St. Apollinaris. And he was a bishop of the early church, so early, actually, that he was a follower and was consecrated by St. Peter himself. And he was, after his consecration, he was sent to Ravenna, and he was sent there to begin to preach the gospel for souls and to convert many to the faith. And he did this very faithfully. He traveled all throughout his area that was under his control and was always constantly working with souls there and preaching to them. And because he knew that this was his duty in life, this is what he was consecrated for. He was consecrated to work for souls. And as he was going about this task and he was converting many souls to Christ, he one time had an idolatrous priest, this was one of these pagan priests, had come upon him and caught him because he had heard about all these places he was going to and preaching and all these souls that were leaving the old pagan religion and coming to the Catholic faith. And so when he caught him, he immediately took him and had him flogged. Now, some of you remember from past boys' camps when Mr. Omlo would bring his whip and it'd make that really loud crack noise, and you could see how fast that was moving. That crack is made because the end of it is going faster than the speed of sound. Well, imagine being hit by that. That's what it means to be flogged. They would use whips to beat these people. And so he was flogged for the sake of preaching the faith. But he didn't let that deter him at all. He, after being let free after his flogging, they all thought, well, that'll teach him. He won't do this anymore. But St. Apollinaris wasn't fazed in the least, and he went back out and immediately started preaching again. And thereupon, they found out about this, and they caught him once again and had him flogged all over again. And then not only that, forced him to walk on burning hot coals like that you saw inside the fire last night. They made him walk across those coals. And the reason for it was because he had performed a miracle. There was a man who couldn't speak at all, and he restored his speech to him by praying over him and blessing him. The man who was dumb, as they say, dumb meaning that unable to speak, could talk all of a sudden. And there was also a woman who was possessed by the devil, and he cast out the devil, and the woman was freed. But once again, after these tortures, he kept on preaching. And he came to another place, and he worked an even bigger miracle. He came to this house, and this girl had died. And he came there and prayed over her and brought her back to life. And the whole entire household, it was a big household, there was a lot of family, and then they also had servants and things like that there. They all were converted to the faith. But then, hearing about this, because you can't keep something that great quiet for too long, those, what was the prefect, or the kind of like the governor, the person in charge of that area of the Roman Empire, he heard about it, and he personally came to Apollinaris, and he begged him to stop. He said, please, we won't do anything more to you. We won't bother you. You can live out your life in peace. But please, just stop going around and preaching this new Christian religion to these people. They're taking them away from our temples. You're taking them away from our idols. We need you to stop. This is going against the empire's religion. And Apollinaris stood there, firm in the faith, and didn't even bat an eye. But he told the prefect that in no way was he going to stop. And this infuriated the man. And so he took Apollinaris and he began to torture him in a terrible, terrible way. He stretched him out on the rack. And then they cut him up with knives. and poured boiling water into the wounds that they opened up with the knives. And then they beat him, imprisoned him, and finally they put him on a ship. And just to get rid of him, they sent the ship away. They just sent it away and so they could be finally done with this man. But the problem was that his ship eventually was shipwrecked. And he came to an area called Mysia. And when he arrived there, that area too was largely pagan. And they all prayed in this temple. And in the temple, a devil would come. And he would provide an oracle. Basically, this he would talk to the people and tell them things about the future. It would be like going to a fortune teller almost. And so this devil, which is also devil worship, of course. And this devil would tell them oracles. But when Saint Apollinaris arrived there, without even having gone to see anybody, that devil began to speak. And he said, I can no longer provide you oracles so long as the man and follower of Saint Peter resides in this place. And so those people immediately grasped him, threw him on another boat, and sent him right back to where he came. And while there, as soon as when he got back, that same idolatrous priest that persecuted him in the beginning found out he was back and had him put in jail. But the jailer was a secret Christian and let him out. But for God's greater glory, after he was let out from prison, soldiers heard about it and happened upon him on the road and beat him and put him to death, finally. And we see all of this happening. Why? Because it's a perfect example in Saint Apollinaris of the virtue which we're focusing on during our camp this week, that virtue of virility, that manliness, but in the things of the faith in Apollinaris. So, you know, we were all trying to foster our own manliness as young boys and young men, and it's important that we do so. And we see this exercised very well in Apollinaris' devotion to duty. He was completely devoted to his duties, to the faith and to the church and to Christ, that no matter what happened to him, he kept preaching. He kept working for souls. You know, he didn't, like anybody else, he didn't like being hit. He didn't like being whipped or cut or tortured in these terrible ways. That wasn't enjoyable from a physical sense. He liked it because he was doing great things for God, but he didn't like it from just a physical, he didn't feel good about it in his body when he got cut and whipped and things. But it didn't stop him in the least. He was manly in that way that he persisted in always doing what God had asked him to do, what God had ordained him and consecrated him to do, which was to work for more souls to bring into the kingdom of heaven. And he did it all joyfully because he loved Christ, and he would do it 1,000 times over and suffer endless pains because of his love of God. This is the type of manliness that we all need for ourselves. We all need to have that devotion to Christ and to devotion in all the things that God has required of us. What is it? He has asked of us our duties in our lives. So for you children, think about what your duties right now are. They're, you know, few and simple, but they're still duties. They're still things that God asks of you. God wants you to be obedient and respectful to your parents all the time. Not when it's easy, because anybody can do it when it's easy, but especially when it's hard, when you really don't want to, when your parents tell you to stop what you're doing, and maybe you were playing a real fun game or something, and they tell you to stop what you're doing, put it down, and come do this bit of work that I have for you. That's a hard thing to do for you because you're having fun, and now you're going to do work. But that's what God is asking of you, not just your parents. God is asking you to put those things down and go work. Do what the chore that your parents have. And that's hard, but that's our duty. You know, God will ask of you at times in the future to stand up for his faith. You might have people that you know, and you might even like them. They might be your friends. They wouldn't be very good friends if they did this to you, but they might be your friends. And they might say things against the Catholic faith, or they might question you about it, or they might make fun of you a little bit for it. And you might want to just kind of cower and walk away and not pay any attention to it, or you might want to give in and kind of laugh just to appease these people. But no, we have to stay strong. We have to stand up for our Lord in those times. Other times, we're going to have people who are tempting us to sin. And it's always hard to turn away from temptation because temptation is appealing. But we still have to do it. And so when we have temptations come, it is our duty to always turn away, no matter what, no matter how hard it is, to reject that and turn towards God and to serve him well. This is what it means to be manly in the faith. Always looking for our next opportunity to gain grace. Always looking for our next opportunity to save souls. Always looking for the next opportunity to please God by our prayers, by our actions, no matter what it is. To be a man of God is the manliest of all. And sometimes it is hard. And sometimes we might not always feel like doing the things we're supposed to do that God asks of us. But we always persevere, we always push forward, and we always do what we know is right because God has asked it of us. He has made it part of our lot, our duty, and we love him, and we want to be like Saint Apollinaris, who was willing to do anything at all for the sake of God. That is what it means to be manly for God. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.